RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, and news in brief. We'll continue to our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia ready to share information with Singapore on handling fire. Indonesian president says the next sail should be well prepared. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government is willing to share information with Singaporean government about cooperation that involves in burning forests. But on the other hand, Indonesia confirmed that it will impose sanctions toward those corporations. Secretary General of the Ministry of the Environment and Forestry, Bambang Hendro, said that currently Indonesian government is considering law enforcement effort to the issue, which has burned 200,000 hectares, where 80% of which are in the area of corporate land. Currently, there are at least 7 companies that were indicated to be involved and responsible to the forest fires issue, while 20 others are still under investigation by the police department. Previously, Singapore has requested Indonesia to provide details about company involved so that decisive action can also be taken by Singaporean government if it is necessary. The Indonesian and Malaysian government committed on migrant legal workers placement. Indonesia will only send its migrant workers through legal official channels, as Malaysian will also accept through the same way. Both governments also agreed on employers' obligation to bear the cost in migrant workers placement, not to overwhelm every workers. Indonesian Minister of Manpower Affairs, after attending bilateral meeting with Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Ahmad Zahid Hamidi on Saturday, said that both governments will stand with sanctions if there are stakeholders try to violate these terms accordingly. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Kampar in Riau Province to check the peat fires in the area. The president is scheduled to arrive on September 24th to 25th to specially discuss haze fire catastrophe. Head of Public Relations of Riau Regional Government Darius Man said that there are 3 schedules will be conducted by the president during his visit, namely to check hotspots, effort on handling smoke's effect, as well as to deliver Indonesian health card. The visit was rescheduled from earlier on September 22nd to 23rd. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the peak event of Sail Tomini 2015 on Saturday at Parigi Mutong, Central Sulawesi. The President was accompanied by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, also a number of ministers, among others, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Coordinating Minister for Maritime, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, and others. In his speech, President Joko Widodo asked the Minister of Tourism, the Governor, and the Mayor that the next of Sail Indonesia can be well prepared at least 2 years earlier.
Saya titip yang pertama, ini adalah sudah yang ke-7 Sail Tomini ini. Pertama, ini kepada Menteri Pariwisata dan juga Gubernur dan Bupati.
Sail Tomini is the seventh sail event. It is very beautiful sail event seen from the beaches, the bay, the sea, and I requested to the Minister of Tourism, Governor, and Region, it is necessary the next sail event has been marketed 1 or 2 years earlier, so that everyone knows, including foreign tourists, and we can promote the event through media such as newspapers, the TV programs, not only in the country. It can also be used the social media so that before the D-Day, hundreds of millions of people already know the event. President Joko Widodo further said that after Sail Tomini event is completed, there should be follow-up activities carried out weekly or monthly in Parigi Mutong, so that the event will be continued sustainability. On the occasion, the president also expressed his suggestions related to the organization of the sail event. He noted the event should be held during holidays to attract many tourists to come and see. Sail Tomini 2015 was enlivened with a wide variety of entertainment, such as cultural attractions of 3 Sukhoi Air Forces by Indonesian Navy, and skydiving attraction. Besides, there was also the warship parade participated in by warships parade from 6 countries, namely South Korea, Singapore, China, Malaysia, and Australia, themed Indonesia as World Maritime Axis. The last item, the Indonesian Industrial Affairs Minister Saleh Husin asked PT Freeport Indonesia to use components and products from within the country in building mine and mine operation infrastructure, saying that Freeport has become part of the national industry that should be supported by other industries. In his press release on Sunday, Minister Saleh mentioned that Indonesian products are qualified to meet the operational needs of state-owned enterprises, private companies, as well as the government. Location proximity is also another advantage compared to foreign products. In 2015, Freeport Indonesia planned to spend project funds amounting to $1,659 billion, or around 22.41 trillion rupiah, for local and import spending. Minister Saleh said that the large investment is ideally flows to companies producing components and domestic manufacturing. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Dee, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Karimun Regency, Riau Islands Province. The number of foreign tourists visiting Riau Islands Province in the first semester of 2015 increases compared to the same period in 2014. Head of Karimun Tourism, Art and Culture Service Shur Yamin Shah revealed that the number of visitors from January to June 2015 reached 58,790. It increases by about 1.05% compared to the same period in 2014. He said that the most of foreign tourists are from Malaysia and Singapore who spend weekend holiday. Tourists from the two countries, he added, have family relationship with Karimun people. The regency indeed borders the two neighboring countries. To keep increasing the number of foreign tourists coming to Karimun Regency, Suryamin Shah said that the service would develop some new tourism object and culinary tourism. The second news comes from Pariaman, West Sumatra. The Indonesian Agriculture Minister, Andi Amran Sulaiman, last Tuesday inaugurated 1,000-seat independent village program in Kota Pariaman, West Sumatra. According to him, the program is highly important and it needs to be done in a sustainable way to solve lacking food self-sufficiency by increasing paddy planting in every region which is suitable in agricultural sector. He revealed that based on the report from the head of Regional Agriculture Service, the average national production is only 5 tons every hectare. Therefore, he suggested that farmers in the region can use certified seeds or high-quality seeds to produce paddy twofold compared to usual seeds. The last news is from West Java. West Java Provincial Government through Agriculture Service prepares 260 officers to supervise the selling of kurban or sacrifice animals ahead of Idul Adha or Islamic Sacrifice Day to assure that the animals are healthy and their meat are worth consuming. Head of West Java Agriculture Service, Dodi Firman Nugraha, said last Monday in Bandung, West Java, that besides preparing officers consisting of veterinarians, the service has also made circulars for regency or city in West Java regarding supervisions of kurban animals. He also assured that kurban animal stock for West Java is safe and enough to meet the needs of kurban on Idul Adha. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Dini Nugraha. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is the RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state and the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1946. The first Cannes Film Festival is held, having been delayed 7 years due to World War II. The Cannes Festival, named until 2002 as Film Festival or Festival International du Film and known in English as the Cannes Film Festival, is an annual film festival held in Cannes, France, which preview new films of all genres, including documentaries from around the world. Founded in 1946, it is considered the most prestigious film festival in the world and is one of the most publicized. The invitation-only festival is held annually, usually in May, at the Palais des Festivals et des Congrès. Move now to 2011. The United States military ends its Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, allowing gay men and women to serve openly for the first time. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the official United States policy on service by gays, bisexuals, and lesbians in the military instituted by the Clinton administration on February 28, 1994, when Department of Defense directive issued on December 21, 1993, took effect, lasting until September 20, 2011. The policy prohibited military personnel from discriminating against or harassing closeted homosexual or bisexual service members or applicants. While barring openly gay, lesbian, or bisexual persons from military service. This relaxation or legal restrictions on service by gays and lesbians in the armed forces was mandated by United States federal law, which was signed on November 30, 1993, and took effect until 2011. Last is something from 1973. Billie Jean King beats Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes tennis match at the Houston Astrodome. The Battle of the Sexes is a title given to three notable tennis matches between a male and a female player. The first match was between Bobby Riggs and Margaret Court over the best of three sets. The second was a nationally televised match between Riggs and Billie Jean King over the best of five sets. The Riggs versus King match was officially dubbed the Battle of the Sexes. The final match was between Jimmy Connors and Martina Navratilova over the best of three sets and hybrid rules favoring the female player, which was dubbed the Battle of Champions. In the national limelight following his win over Court, Bobby Riggs taunted all female tennis players, prompting Billie Jean King to accept a lucrative financial offer to play Riggs in a national televised match that the promoters dubbed the Battle of the Sexes. The match, which had a winner-takes-all prize of $100,000, was held in Houston, Texas on September 20, 1997. King defeated him 6-4, 6-3, and 6-3. After Riggs dumped a volley into the net on set point, he jumped the net and told King, "I underestimated you." Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Dee. This week, we highlight forest fire on Sumatra Island and Kalimantan Island with haze as its result. Listener, almost every dry season, forest fire in Sumatra and Kalimantan always happens. Thick haze due to forest fire, which covers some areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan, has entered alert category because it disturbs people's life. This condition is urgent to be solved by cross-sectoral institution. Besides, haze has also crossed and disturbed the air in the neighboring countries Malaysia and Singapore. In facing the impact of forest fire, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo instructed all related parties to solve the haze. National haze handling is under the coordination of Environment and Forestry Ministry. After a coordination meeting on forest fire and haze handling that he led last Tuesday, Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan read the result of the meeting. The meeting held at the ministry has arrived at a decision that legal process will be done to some corporations implicated in the forest fire. Therefore, based on the president's instruction, the minister has asked the head of the National Police or Polri and Attorney General to take firm action on the forest fire suspects. However, environmental activists doubt the effectiveness of law enforcement on some companies implicated in the forest fire as long as the efforts remain discriminatory. Eyes on the Forest in Riau Province, Afdal Mahyudin said that he warmly welcomes the intention of the government to take firm action on the companies which are proven to burn forests. However, he is skeptical that the efforts can make them aware. According to him, the weakness of law apparatuses in handling environmental issue and light punishment cause forest fire happen again and again from year to year. In the meantime, Head of Health Research and Development Agency at the Health Ministry, Professor Dr. Chandra Yoga Aditama, said that in general, haze can harm people's health, both healthy people and sick people. In certain health conditions, people will be easier to get sick due to haze than others. It happens particularly to those who have lung and heart disease, the elderly and children. Besides, pollutant material from forest fire is harmful for all people. To solve forest fire, the Indonesian military, or TNI, and the National Police, or Polri, along with the National Search and Rescue Agency, or Basarnas, had deployed more than 1,000 personnel to forest fire-affected areas. In addition, some haze-prone areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan have been alerted by sending all people, including medical experts, based on the president's instruction. Listener, that ends Highlights of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
Hello listener, welcome to Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. On Sunday, September 13, 2015, the government continued to make effort to encourage the expansion of market for Indonesian products. One of them was sales through supermarket outlets in Middle East countries. The government wants to see Indonesian products from factories. There are onion, papaya, mango, and everything. They have 160 branches in Middle East and Asia. President Joko Widodo said after visiting Lulu supermarket in Abu Dhabi on Sunday. President Joko Widodo said he had asked the owner of the supermarket to multiply Indonesian products and spread it in different countries. According to him, Indonesia still needs effort to market the products. One of the efforts is increasing the quality of the products. On Monday, September 14, 2015, Speaker of the House of Representatives, or DPR, Setia Novanto, at the Parliament Complex on Monday, September 14, 2015, having returned from his U.S. visit, defended his meeting with U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump. Setia Novanto said that he received a personal invitation by Trump. He claimed that he and Trump was discussing about business and investment opportunities in Indonesia. Setia said that the discussion was related to domestic economic condition. He also claimed that he had also met with several other business representatives while he was in the U.S., including representatives from Philip Morris, Facebook, and Apple. The House Speaker added, "It is the DPR's responsibility to assist the government in performing political and economic diplomacy." Still on Monday, an observer said, "Indonesia's economy will continue to be overshadowed by external factors, especially by the economic slowdown in China." Tony Prasetyantono from the State Gadjah Mada University in Yogyakarta said, "In view of this situation, Indonesia must expedite the implementation of downstream industrialization and export market expansion. The projection that the Chinese economy would only grow 6.3% in 2016 and the negative impact of the yuan devaluation would have a strong effect on Indonesia." BI's North Sulawesi Chapter's Chief Peter Jacob said on the occasion that other external pressures on the country's economy had stemmed from a decline in the price of commodities that affected the regional economy very much. In view of that, he said regions needed to accelerate development of downstream industries to boost competitiveness for their export products. On Tuesday in Jakarta, September 15, 2015, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Indonesian military TNI and police strive to free two Indonesian citizens who were taken hostages by the armed separatist movement in Papua New Guinea. Vice President said the government received a report from Coordinating Minister of Politics, Law and Security Luhut Panjaitan, who have instructed the TNI commander, General Gatot Nurmantio, and other parties to negotiate with the government of Papua New Guinea related to a border hostage with prisoners of Free Papua Organization. Yusuf Kalla asserted the desire is difficult to be realized.
Tentang bahwa beliau sudah memerintahkan Panglima.
He instructed commander as well as other apparatuses to immediately negotiate with PNG government for the matter. We certainly do not accept a greater agreement easier, especially on issue that related to the case of drug abuse. Vice President Yusuf Kalla added, related to the rescue issue, Indonesian security apparatuses led by Coordinating Minister of Politics, Law and Security have worked seriously to resolve the case. Previously, the two Indonesian citizens, namely Sudirman and Badar, being hostage by the armed group in PNG. The perpetrator, named Jeffrey Pagawak, who actually came to the wanted person list of the police since 2006, and it is strongly presumed he involved the bloody incident in Abepura in 2012. The perpetrator asked the changes of hostages with two Indonesian prisoners. Still on Tuesday, the bilateral trade relationship between Indonesia and Kazakhstan is still facing challenges. For Secretary for Political and Mass Media Affairs, Embassy of the Republic of Kazakhstan in Jakarta, Gamsat Khairov, after attending diplomatic forum on Tuesday in Jakarta, said that the logistic problem is one of the challenges in developing Indonesia-Kazakhstan bilateral trade relation. To boost its trade, according to him, Indonesia and Kazakhstan have established joint commission on trade economic cooperation.
The first impediment in developing our trade relationship is logistics. because we're quite remote, yeah, Indonesia and Kazakhstan. So right now we kind of work with, two governments. They work to find out the optimal and best logistical routes. We have established in 2013 a joint commission on trade economic cooperation. Under this commission, there are six subgroups. So one of them it's investment, the second one it's trade, oil and gas, and etc. So these commissions, they work precisely to find out the best solutions, the best, the options to increase our and boost our trade.
Furthermore, Gamzat said that the total trade of both countries in 2014 was more than $25 million. It was still lower than he expected. He added that the figure should be more increased because Kazakhstan has huge potential. He mentioned that Kazakhstan is one of the biggest producer countries of wheat and oil. Gamzat said that Indonesia can also export more commodities to Kazakhstan. As he told that, Indonesia is the biggest producer of different technology and devices. He added, other Indonesia's potential commodities to be exported to Kazakhstan are vegetables and fruits such as star fruit. On Wednesday, September 16, 2015, the Indonesian police are committed to thoroughly investigating all those companies which burn the forest, causing the haze that has affected various regions in the country. The Director of Special Crimes at the National Police's Crime Investigation Department, Brigadier General Yazid Finani, said at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Wednesday that the investigation would result in the ministries or the concerned state institutions either imposing administrative sanctions against companies found guilty or revoking their permits. He explained that as of now, sanctions could only be imposed after obtaining a court ruling. An administrative sanction, in this case the revocation of permit, may only happen after a court ruling. On Thursday, September 17, 2015, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, condemned strongly the coup d'etat in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso Presidential Guard Corps, the security unit of former President Blaise Compaoré, announced on Thursday that the Presidential Guard have seized power in the country. On Wednesday, the Guard unit attacked a meeting of the cabinet and captured the interim president, prime minister, and other leaders. Based on reported of Xinhua on Friday morning, in a statement, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon affirmed that all officials of Burkina Faso who are detained should be released immediately. He also demanded the resumption of the political transition in the country in line with the transitional charter and the constitution of Burkina Faso. Still on Thursday, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that enhancement of strategy and marketing tactics are important in facing ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. In marketing Indonesia's tourism, the government utilizes branding strategies which are Wonderful Indonesia and Persona Indonesia. Arif said tourism sector in ASEAN is bright, with number of visits reaching 90.2 million with growth of 12% since 2013. He said that the number of visits to ASEAN consists of 60% from ASEAN countries and 32% from other Asian countries such as China, Japan, Korea and India, adding that effective marketing tactic is needed to seize ASEAN market. On Friday, September 18, 2015 in Jakarta, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Ahmad Zahid Hamidi discussed a wide range of bilateral issues at the meeting. It was the first visit of Hamidi to Indonesia after he was installed as Deputy Prime Minister. Commenting on the ongoing political turmoil in Malaysia, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla noted that any political problem faced by a country is its internal affairs. He pointed out, according to its foreign policy, Indonesia does not intervene in the internal affairs of other countries, including Malaysia. Despite the political turmoil, he expressed hope that the Malaysian people would stay united. During his visit to Indonesia, the Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister met Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, earlier on the day. Listener, that was the Week in Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian government is willing to share information with Singaporean government about corporation that involved in burning forest. But on the other hand, Indonesia confirmed that it will impose sanctions toward those corporations. The Indonesian and Malaysian government committed on migrant legal workers placement. Indonesia will only send its migrant workers through legal official channels, as Malaysian will also accept through the same way. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Kampar in Riau province to check the peat fires in the area. The president is scheduled to arrive on September 24th to 25th to specially discuss the haze fire catastrophe. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the peak event of Seal Tomini 2015 on Saturday at Parigi Mutong, Central Sulawesi. The president was accompanied by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, also a number of ministers, among others Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Coordinating Minister for Maritime, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, and others. The Indonesian Industrial Affairs Minister Saleh Hussein asked PT Freeport Indonesia to use components and products from within the country in building mine and mine operations infrastructure, saying that Freeport has become part of the national industry that should be supported by other industries. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. Today we'll introduce you to the Money Museum in Purbalingga, Central Java Province. So stay with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast via www.voi.co.id. Money or currency has become a reflection of the development of civilization of a nation. By knowing the development of the currency, we can tell how the condition of a nation and its civilization. For that reason, Triyono Budisasongko, who was Purbalingga regional head for two terms from 2000 until 2010, had the idea of establishing a money museum in his city. This idea was later received full support from Bank Indonesia and was officially opened on December 18, 2008. The The Money or Currency Museum, which is located at Jalan Kutasari, Purbalingga, has a collection from 184 countries around the world. Whereas the collection of domestic currency is quite amazing, because this money museum has a collection of money circulating as far back as the era of the Majapahit Kingdom, the Dutch colonial time, or the Netherlands East Indies, or VOC, the Japanese occupation, until the money today. Currency collection on display are all well maintained. For example, the coins that was used at the time of VOCs can still be read with ease. To attract and facilitate visitors, the currency is grouped in some panels. When you get to the panel 1, you will see royal money circulated in the year 1215 until 1899. The money is in this panel are, among others, Majapahit Gobok, Sumatra Piti money, Chinese Gobok, Sungai Sabrangan plantation money, and there are 35 other collections from that period. In panel 2, you will find the Java Shebang. Money in panel 2 was valid and circulated during the 1815 until 1940 period. Those in circulation in 1915 were J.P. Kun II series, Moon Billiet, Wayang series, and there are still 19 other collections. There are also some coins inscribed with VOC. Furthermore, when you get around to panel 3, you will see the collection of money used in the Japanese occupational period from 1942 until 1945. While in the fourth panel, you can still see the money from the Dutch East Indies colonial era, which has an assortment of images such as palm trees, Queen Wilhelmina's picture, mangosteen's flower, sailboat, and lotus flowers. Finally, in panel 5, you will see a collection of post-independence Indonesian currency from 1945 to 1949, Ris and Ori banknotes, as well as the collection of Indonesian money since 1950 until now. Money Museum, which museum is maintaining historical objects of high value from extinction, is also a means of education and learning of Purbalingga cultural development. The entrance ticket is set at 10,000 rupiah per person, which is less than $1. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, which has taken you to Money Museum in Purbalingga. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's topic is a solar car made by ITS students is to take part in a car race in Australia. So stay tuned in. By the way, besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. A solar-powered car made by 10 November Institute of Technology, or ITS, Solar Car Racing Team, and named Widya Wahana 5, is ready for the competition in Australia from October the 18th until 25th. Nur Yuniarto, the team supervisor, said that last August the 17th, Widya Wahana 5, or WW5, had followed tour the Java Bali with pit stops in some big cities such as Jakarta as the starting point, Semarang, Banyuwangi, and Denpasar at the finish. The tour, with a total distance of about 1,200 kilometers, was a learning process for students in making WW5. Nur Yuniarto said before registering into the 2015 World Solar Challenge competition in Australia, the team had undergone a learning process from design up to errors calculation. According to him, the team also conducted trials in Juanda Toll Road with a maximum speed of 110 km per hour with a target speed actually of 150 km per hour. But Juanda Toll Road does not allow to take the speed. For the preparation of the race, at the moment the team is preparing final documents while searching for a means to bring the car to Australia. As for technical and non-technical preparations, the team, which consists of 20 people, so far hasn't had any serious problem. Meanwhile, WW5 Mechanical Engineering Team Manager Alvan Nugraha said the car's interior design is still simple, with two seats for the driver and navigator, as well as relying on the gas pedal and brake. To support the navigation, a camera has been added at the back of the car body instead of a rear view mirror. He explained that the car weighs approximately 280 kilograms. While competing in Australia, the challenge is how to manage the solar power. He added that the challenge posed by the competition this time is to be able to complete the trip within a maximum period of 6 days with only a 9-hour race clock, that is from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time per day. Director of the ITS, John Hermana, said, reflecting from the 2015 Japan Formula Students Competition in Tokyo some time ago, this time the team does not want to repeat the same mistakes. ITS team was then disqualified just because one drop of oil. Furthermore, he revealed that the essential points of the competition is self-defeating, to be disciplined in order to create a solid team and maintaining healthy competition in the area. Because of the location of the current Australian hot weather, so one will be easily dehydrated. That was this edition of Miscellany about a solar car made by ITS students to take part in a car race in Australia. Until next edition of Miscellany with another interesting topic.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception report on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Kalab Abbas said that he thanks very much to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia's reporter Rahmawati Puri, for interviewing Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Muhammad Aqil Nadim, on Pakistan Independence Day on August 14. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We always wait for your reception report about our programs, which have broadcast by Voice of Indonesia. Thank you. Well, Mr. Kalab Abbas, keep listening to our broadcast and also send your reception report. Special for you and our regular listeners, we will play a song. Listener, before we play another beautiful song, we will reply an email from Mr. Eduardo Esteban in Chile. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1927 hours to 1945 hours UTC in French. And the SIN code was 34222. In his email, Mr. Eduardo Esteban told that he is an international shortwave radio listener since 2004 and also a DXer. He was very excited to have listened to Voice of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Eduardo Esteban. Welcome to our club. We are glad because you are very excited to hear our radio. Please give your suggestion or also criticism on our program to make our broadcast better and better. And if you miss your favorite segments, we suggest you to visit our website www.voi.co.id. www.voi.co.id. As your request, we have sent our QSL card to your home, so please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Eduardo Esteban in Chile, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report. For you, we'll play a beautiful song.
Coba untuk melawan hati, tapi hampa terasa di sini tanpamu. Bagiku semua sangat berarti lagi. Ku ingin kau di sini, tepiskan sepiku bersamamu. Takkan pernah ada yang lain di sisi segenap jiwa hanya untukmu, dan takkan mungkin ada yang lain di sisi. Ku ingin kau di sini, tepiskan sepiku bersamamu. Bagiku semua sangat berarti. Ku ingin kau di sini. Bagiku semua sangat berarti lagi. Ku ingin kau di sini. Tepiskan sepiku bersamamu.
Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Hiroyuki Akiba in Japan. Mr. Hiroyuki Akiba, he was listening to our broadcast through internet in Japanese language. Hello, Mr. Hiroyuki Akiba. Thank you for your email dated July 26, 2015. We really appreciate your suggestion to improve our Japanese pronouncing skill. Because you are difficult to catch our shortwave in your place, we have delivered your complaint to our technical division, and hopefully it will not happen again next time. As your request, we have sent our QSL card to your home. So please be patient to wait for it, and special for you and also our other regular listeners. Well, now we'll reply an email from Amir Jamil in Pakistan. Mr. Amir Jamil was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz, but unfortunately, he cannot hear our radio clearly. Hello, Mr. Amir Jamil. How are you? Long time we haven't received your email or letter, but we are glad because you are still tuned to our radio. For your complaint, we have delivered to our technical division, and we really appreciate your report. Well, Mr. Amir Jamil, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you very much. Well, listener, those are emails that we have received, but unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate very much your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia. And also we have another new fan page on Facebook, namely The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia. Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listeners' mailbag for today, we will play a song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.